Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I will highlight a few points from my statement to the IAEA Board of Governors this morning. I informed the board that 579 new IAEA technical cooperation projects have been proposed for the next two-year cycle. The top three priorities are, for member states, health and nutrition, nuclear safety and security, and food and agriculture. The project to modernize our nuclear applications and laboratories at Seibertsdorf, known as Renewal Project, is progressing well. This is one of the most important projects ever undertaken by the agency. All new building construction is fully funded. We still need funding to equip the laboratories. We will hold a ministerial conference on nuclear science and technology in Vienna from November 28th to the 30th next year. The ambassadors of Costa Rica and Japan will be available to lead on the preparatory work. Ladies and gentlemen, I informed the board about my visit to Tehran on October 29th for talks with President Rouhani and other government officials. During that visit, I stressed the importance of full implementation by Iran of its nuclear-related commitments under the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. I also encouraged Iran to ratify the additional protocol to its safeguards agreement, which is provisionally applying at present. The nuclear-related commitments undertaken by Iran are being implemented. The agency continues to verify the non-diversion of nuclear material declared by Iran under its safeguards agreement. Evaluation regarding the absence of undeclared nuclear material and activities in Iran continue. As of today, the agency has had access to all the locations that we needed to visit. Finally, I draw your attention to the third IAEA International Conference on Radiation Protection in Medicine, which will start on December 11th in Vienna. It will consider safety in the medical use of ionizing radiation and the radiation protection of medical staff and the public. The conference is open to the media. I will now be happy to take your questions.
Shadia Nasrallah from Reuters News Agency, thank you for your statements. I'd just like to have a clarification. You say you encourage Iran to fully implement, and yet you omit that adverb fully when you say Iran's commitments are implemented. What's the difference? Is Iran currently not fully implementing? Thank you.
What I said to Iran is that I emphasized the importance of full implementation of the nuclear-related commitments taken by Iran under the JCPOA. What I said and what I say quite often is that nuclear commitments by Iran are being implemented. This is the assessment of the situation. But IAEA is not a party to the JCPOA, so strictly speaking, IAEA is not in a position to pass judgment whether or not Iran is in compliance. In any agreement arrangement, the entity that is not a party to the arrangement or agreement is not in a position to pass judgment on compliance and non-compliance. If you recall, I never said that Iran is in compliance and non-compliance. I said the nuclear-related commitments by Iran are being implemented.
So what would Iran need to do to fully implement, given that you have called on them
to
fully implement?
Iran has committed under the JCPOA.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Amano. This is Jafari from Iranian State News Agency. As you mentioned just now, you have for the ninth time, you have verified that Iran has the nuclear-related commitments undertaken by Iran are being implemented. At the same time, some parties to the JCPOA are raising the issue of Section T of Annex 1, and they are alleging that Iran is not complying with the nuclear deal in this section. What is your assessment of that?
I do not comment on the views of countries. Different countries have different views. But the IAEA's assessment of the situation is that the nuclear commitments by Iran are being implemented.
But Your Excellency, in one interview to one of media, you mentioned this Section T, and you said that you have not have access to for verifying this section. And
I didn't say that. What I said is that Section T does not have any reference to access. Mm-hmm. Whether we have access or not is a different thing. What I said is that Section T is in principle related to dual technology or prohibition or limitation of the activities related to dual technology unless it is approved by the Joint Commission. Section T does not contain any reference to access. That is what I said.
Thank you. Simon Steady, AFP. If you can't have access to check what Iran is doing under Section T, how can you be sure that they are complying with Section T?
Again, I did not say I do not have access related to Section T. To address issues. What I said, Section T is not about access. Section T is about in principle, dual technology, and without the consent from a Joint Commission, Iran is prohibited, or Iran has to reduce the activities related to these technologies. So access is a different thing. And I didn't say whether I have access or I do not have access related to the issues covered under Section T. What I said is that the additional protocol tools available under the additional protocol is broadly applicable to address the issues under Section T. And whether we had access, access to some location or when, how, whether, I cannot discuss because I have the obligation to protect the confidential information. I'm not clear, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Why is it that you said before that you wanted more clarity on this issue?
If there is more clarity, it makes our job easier. Easier does not mean without that I cannot do that.
Albert Otti, DPA, German Press Agency. Without going into how exactly you're verifying Section T, can you say that the IA has been able to verify whether Iran is keeping its obligations under Section T?
Let me say this. The IAEA is monitoring and verifying all the elements, nuclear-related commitments by Iran under the JCPOA, which include Section T. At this stage, I do not have any issue any concern that I need to raise.
This is Homa Lezgi from Press TV. Again, another follow-up question on Section T. Mr. Salehi in Iran said that this was an issue that you discussed with him whilst you were in Tehran. My question is, do you believe that you can do all the monitoring work potentially required under Section T using your authorities under the additional protocol?
I said many times that the nuclear-related commitments by Iran under the JCPOA are being implemented. This is the assessment of the situation as of today. It doesn't mean I foresee what would happen tomorrow or in the future, and I do not speculate. What I said is related to the situation as of today.
Matthias Röder, German Press Agency. There is a strong political pressure by the United States, and does this pressure by any kind, in any kind, influence the work of the IAEA?
The IAEA undertakes its verification and monitoring activities based on in accordance with the modality defined in the JCPOA, and based on the safeguard practice, and we discharge our responsibility in an impartial, rigorous, and factual manner. And we continue to do so.
Setsuko Inaki, Nippon Television. Just the last follow-up, maybe. You have said that so far, as of today, that the IAEA was able to visit all the places needed. Now, in this needed broad term, does this include also the matters which includes the Section T?
I do not discuss the details, but I do not discuss the details, but I can assure you that we could have access to all the locations and that we needed to visit.
On a different subject regarding this week, the Russian Meteorological Agency said that it had had also detected higher levels of ruthenium-106. Have you received any further information from Russia about what the source of this incident, leak, discharge may have been?
No, the latest information from Russian authority was that they referred to us to the statement made by Rosatom. And you are aware of the statement made by Rosatom. That is the latest information.
But does that make sense? I mean, all the indications would suggest that there was indeed some sort of incident there.
We started to receive information on the concentration of ruthenium-106 in October, and from some European countries, and we have asked 43 European countries about the measurement of ruthenium 106 and whether there were any event that could be the source of such release. We have received a response, and we have received the measurement by these countries, and we have also received a response that there were no events that could be in the course of such release. You mentioned the report by Russian Meteorological Authority, and we have asked questions, and we were referred to the Rosatom statement. Kazakhstan is not was not included in these European countries, so we have asked the questions, but they were not aware of any event that could be the cause of such release. I would like to make sure that level of concentration of ruthenium-106, even on the highest measurement, does not cause harm for human health. and that does not cause some harm from human health. These inquiries and response are undertaken on voluntary basis.
I'm sorry, just one follow-up on the interview on Section T, where you said you'd welcome clarification. Have you received any?
No.
Okay.
As of today, no.
But
still, we can continue to verify and monitor the issues under Section T.
Another question on another topic, sir. You have mentioned that you want to sort of change the design logo to Atoms for Peace and Development. Now, starting December, you are starting your new 4 years tenure. Leading up to that, is that your sort of legacy that you are putting more emphasis on development? What are you planning to do in the next 4 years? And together with this logo, can you just tell me a little bit more about your thought? Thank you.
I said today's statement that I will continue to use the logo of Atoms for Peace and Development, but it is not for legacy. If you look closely at the activities of the IAEA for now, the motto of Atoms for Peace and Development better reflect the activities that we are doing now, rather than Atoms for Peace. We are addressing development issues and some non-proliferation issues at the same time. I think our activities in this field to use nuclear technology for peaceful purpose need to be strengthened, especially nuclear technology for peaceful purpose is very effective to attain the sustainable development goals. It is also evident that North Korean issue is very, very serious now, and Iran nuclear issue continues to be followed, need to be followed very, very carefully. So these are the priorities in the coming years, and I will follow I will discharge my responsibility with some sense of tense, and I'll follow these things like I did in the past years.
Thank you. Any more questions?
I'm Yoshitake from the Japan's Asahi Shimbun. About DPRK team, which was launched in August. If you have any update, please tell us.
We have established this North Korean team in summer this year, and the objective is to gather the core expertise and strengthen our efforts to monitor the North Korean nuclear programs and stay ready for the verification of the North Korean nuclear programs. This is not a big team. This is a small team, but it is very important to give a clear mandate and some visibility. And we continue to work, but at this stage, we do not have anything particular to report. Yes, fine.
Turn to final questions.
I hope that what I said about Section T is clear. It is not. Section T does not refer to access. It is it refers to technology. Access is referred to in other sections in the JCPOA. And in additional protocol too. So So it is wrong to perceive that Section T is a super access clause. It is not at all. It is about dual technology. Access is addressed in other part of the JCPOA or additional protocol. And verification tools are provided by additional protocol. Additional protocol is a very powerful verification tool, and I'm saying that it is possible to verify and monitor the issues related under Section T using the tools available under Section under the additional protocol.
Sorry, just one follow-up. I mean, when you were in Washington, D.C., you met some people in the Congress as well. U.S. Congress is to decide what to do on the Iran issues. Was there anything that, what was your objective to meet them? And do you think that your objective was met?
My objective was met because my objective was to attend the Wilson Center's 60th year anniversary event. And I made a keynote speech, and that was my objective, to visit Washington at that timing. But we are using the agency's money, so I used this time to meet with as many policy lawmakers as possible. And I had a meeting with some staff in the White House and government. And there were some misunderstandings, so I explained our view on access, our view on our safeguard efforts, and I stressed that the JCPOA is some clear, significant gain from verification, for verification, and our verification system in Iran is some of the strongest currently available, and Section T is monitored and verified. And these are some points, and I also explained the details of verification activities, not the system, but activities too. And there were questions, and I responded to these questions.
Thank you. I think we have one question there.
Mr. Director General, since you made a clarification there about the Section T question, when you say in your interview with Reuters that you have limited tools and that the clarification would be more helpful when it comes to Section T, it creates the confusion that you don't have enough access or you have problems in verification. You say now that the additional protocol is enough, it gives you the tools that you need. But when you say in the interview that your tools are limited, it's a bit confusing for me.
I didn't say enough. I never said enough. I said the tools available under additional protocol are broadly applicable to address the issues under Section T. And any clarification is helpful. And these two are not contradictory at all.
Yes, a follow-up on your Washington visit. Did you walk away from these meetings with the impression that from these meetings with the policymakers, lawmakers, with the impression that that the misunderstandings have been cleared up, or do some misunderstandings remain?
I think my explanation was very helpful for them to better understanding the activities of the IAEA.
Final one. President Donald Trump in mid-October, when he refused to certify the JCPOA, he said that the IAEA was being intimidated into doing its job, to stop it doing its job properly. Is that correct, or is that fake news?
I do not make comments on the remarks of the president, but we are doing our activities as we need to.
Thank you. I think now the board will resume.
Okay. Thank you very much.